Hi everyone, welcome to STEP's audio channel. We are very excited to share our content from STEP's events to learn all about the latest trends in startups, digital media, fintech, future tech, and wellness in emerging markets. You can find us on Enerami, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Make sure to subscribe to your favorite channel, and we hope you enjoy the content.
Okay, let's get straight into it. Right. Mo, let me start with you. How can fintech solutions enhance and improve the overall experience for retail customers, particularly taking for the moment they start their online search through to making a purchase?
So I think there's been a lot of interesting stuff happening in fintech, particularly in the world of online commerce and online retail, let's put it that way. I think given the size of the market, I'm talking about like $20 billion in the UAE, growing 15% year on year. I think it becomes really imperative to think about how your kind of payments experience starts to go hand in hand with the overall journey that you're building. So I think when I think about fintech in the context of these retail solutions, like kind of three things that come to mind. One is, how do you create these delightful experiences for your customers, even when it comes to kind of paying and money, which is like not top of mind? How do you give optionality to customers? But then thirdly, how do you make sure stuff works, right? And so when you think about creating this delightful experience for customers, I think a lot of time we're just so focused on the exact moment of the transaction that we forget the entire journey. So I think when you look at starting with the pre-checkout experience, right? There's a lot of work that fintechs can do to help retailers with, call it the discovery process. I know you mentioned we're not going to talk about BNPL, but actually BNPL's done this pretty tremendously well, right? You create a fintech offering that's relevant to customers, and then that becomes a discovery engine for retailers, and that's where customers come to discover new brands. But then you can also look at it kind of during the checkout experience. Like, you know, at Careem, we're effectively both a retailer as well as a fintech player, right? And my team manages payments for the entirety of the Careem app. And so one of the things we've looked at, for example, is, you know, you're booking a ride. And while you're booking a ride, it's like, okay, why don't you upgrade to become a Careem Plus member? Right? So creating that in context relevance is super important. And then post-checkout as well. Right? How do you enable a customer to change their payment methods on the go, right? Sometimes people are make mistakes as they go through there. How do you do cross-sell? I think the second big bucket is, like I said, new payment methods. A few years back, customers only wanted to do cash on delivery, right? There was no trust in online commerce. And then now you've seen a plethora of new payment methods, and those need to cater towards the context of the customer, their level of how banked they are, what access to options. So now you can pay with cash, with card, BNPL, wallets, right? So that's kind of exploding, and that optionality is really important. And third is just like making things work at that moment of truth at checkout. Payments fail left and right for so many reasons, and a customer doesn't really care why it's happening, right? For them, you failed them as a merchant. So really investing in the robustness of that experience is essential.
And how can retailers benefit from integrating fintech solutions? And what are some of the challenges that come up when you're integrating these solutions into the retail landscape?
So I think the opportunity for fintech is pretty wide for retailers, right? Like I said, from discovery to increasing your conversions to just improving the overall experience end-to-end for the customer. But it's also not straightforward. And I think depending on the stage of that retailer, like, you know, how early they are in their life cycle, you know, integrating solutions is not straightforward, right? And so whether it's from creating the proper sandbox environment, from I think also a lot of it is the moment of truth when you start your journey as a fintech solution with the retailers is really important. What does that onboarding experience actually look like?
Yeah.
I think if anybody started a company here or run a small business, you know, there's a lot of overhead typically to onboard, right? From providing your company documents, and you can drop off really, really quickly there. So I think even getting that right is very important.
Yeah. I was going to add one thing to that, Paul, because something you mentioned right at the start, which was payments can fail for various reasons, right? And I think fintechs can really understand the, and it's a science. A lot of it is actually detecting fraud and what you let through, what you don't, what your risk appetite is for accepting one click and things like that. So for retailers, I think it's a great opportunity to carve out that knowledge to someone who does it day in and day out. Retailers, you're doing a great job at selling your product. We will partner with someone who can take that payment headache off us. And I think that's where the partnership comes in. You know, when retailers or whoever tries to understand that themselves, it's a long learning curve that takes many years of learning.
To do what you know, exactly, find experts who do what you don't.
Exactly. Yeah.
I totally agree with that, brother. And like, it is a science, as you said. Like, a payment can fail because of suspected fraud, because your card issuer has decided they don't want to, just a gateway might be down. Like, there are just so many options, and retailers need to focus on what they do best, right? Their product, the marketplace that they're creating, the customer journey. And so I think being able to partner with a trusted fintech there is essential.
100%.
Makes sense. Padmini, turning to you, so what future developments do you anticipate in the fintech ecosystem that can benefit retail? And how can industry players get ready, prepare, and adapt for these future innovations?
Yep. So before I answer the question, I wanted to give you sort of what we do, because it adds to what my perspective is.
Sure.
So essentially, we're a card-sharing platform that allows people to share their cards cross-border, right? So instead of remittances, within country, so with dependents like spouses or kids or whatever, or share benefits. So I've got 10% off Amazon. You don't. You want to spend on Amazon, I can share that with you. And then we recently purchased a company that is in India that does card to UPI. Mm-hmm. And that's become a huge market for us. So I understand this from both a card payment option as well as an instant payment option. And so what do I think is the future? Well, you know, as everyone's talked about, and we won't talk about it on this panel, it's BNPL, right? That is just going to accelerate, because credit card options were great, but non-credit card options are much, much easier to access. The second is around instant payments, so UPI, or the local equivalent, which is Ani, right? Those are so, so easy to use, but also for merchants, they are a win, because merchants want to get costs lower and lower, and that is a real win for them. And what that will do to the market is, what it's doing in India is, it's killing a lot of payment providers. So that's not great for anyone that's actually started that process here. And then the third one, which is the most interesting one of all, is non-custodial wallets, which is like Apple Pay, right? Who wants to be flashing their card and putting in a PIN on someone else's device? No one wants to. And so just being able to use it on Apple Pay is really, really easy, which is why Apple's just sort of growing all over the place, and which is why those sorts of payment options are going to be growing more different, but equivalent to Apple, right? They will grow to the equivalency. And so what does this all mean for retailers? So for retailers, things like loyalty, super important. Embedded finance, super important. Subscription models, really, really, really important, right? So, and I'm seeing that actually happen now in retail much, much more than I was before.
Good. Brad, to you, you're based in, but you're present in the UAE and Saudi for your business in Kashi. How is FinTech Solutions positioned to address the needs and specific wants of the customer base, given we have a very broad and varied cultural and regional nuances here and in Saudi, but they're also, Saudi's in a very difficult position to the UAE now with an even bigger boom. I was saying this 10 years ago, but it still seems to be accelerating. So you've got very different aspects and structural elements. How do you take advantage of that, and how do you react to that from a business operating in both markets?
I think, first of all, Saudi is an incredible country at the moment. It's a country which I think everyone has acknowledged that things are changing and progressing quite quickly in the country. It's a country that is embracing change very quickly. So it is an exciting place to be. What I think in terms of your question and dealing with the nuances of this region or this country or Saudi or UAE is the focus point. So what I always, the fintechs I look up to, the fintechs that I think are the most successful, are the ones that focus on a particular service or focus on a particular segment or focus on a particular service in a particular segment and do it very, very well. Okay, and they may broaden that over time, but do that very, very well. And I can talk from Cashy's perspective. Cashy is essentially a digital bank for the youth, so for young people in Saudi. And we are 100% focused on that segment. So our product is designed for that segment, designed for not only the behavior of the people, but also the financial literacy of the young people in Saudi and the UAE. So it's very specific to that segment. And I think that's where the most successful fintechs are, is they do something that's very specific and they do it very well. And they don't need to do the whole ecosystem. They don't need to do the whole value chain of payments or financial services. They can take their little segment and through partnerships. I mean, we're partnered with banks. So I'm speaking to a number of banks across the region that want to launch a youth proposition that don't know how. You know, it's going to be one little product in a full suite of products, and they just don't have the time or the focus or the energy. So I think that is where I look at the sort of nuances. In terms of the countries in particular, I mean, we have to acknowledge that this part of the world is a very young population. You know, so this young population, their spending power is growing by the day, and it's not going to be too long before your kind of millennials and your Gen Z will have the strongest spending power. And for all the parents out there, of which I am one, the kids influence the whole household spend, where you eat, where you holiday, what you go to, what shops you go to. So this this particular demographic, when you talk about the nuances of this region, you've got to understand that it's a very young population, very tech savvy, but very young. I think that is one of the particular nuances we have in this part of the world.
Yeah. I'm very interested in that because we're grappling the same in our business around particularly Gen Z, which clearly I am not. But as a business, how are you reacting to the changes in the demographics? And how are you designing the product for a base that you're not yourself part of? No disrespect.
Sure, yeah, no worries. No worries. So obviously, I'll talk about a couple of the key sort of demographic moves. One I alluded to was the progress that we're seeing in Saudi. And I can tell you, we designed our onboarding, not just, originally it was kind of the father would be the owner of all things finance related. That has changed. I can tell you that half of the people that onboarded as parents onto Cashy are mothers. Mothers are extremely interested, and half of the cards that we've issued in the kingdom are for females. So that sort of change is quite an important one to embrace. I think we are just making sure that we, again, narrow our focus down to this particular segment, design everything for the young people, and ignore everything else. And I think in the retail space, and even in the banking space, this is the biggest challenge, because they speak to a broader spectrum of people. And for the young people, they want to be spoken to directly. They want a product that's designed for them. They want marketing that is talking to them in their language. As I say, you know, my kids don't want to see me dancing on TikTok. You know, kids don't want to see their bank on TikTok because it's not sincere. It's not authentic. It's not where they should be. So that's kind of, it goes across product, but also sort of marketing and approach.
Makes sense. I mean, I'm interested in your perspective on this as well, because you've got a very tangible consumer product in the hands of your customer base. How are you seeing that working across the different demographics and the changing demographics in the region?
So our demographics are literally anyone, right? So people that are sending money home. So instead of sending that cash home to a softer currency, you keep it here and you just send spending capacity home. Or people that are within the country, and instead of going to a financial institution and saying, hey, you know what, I want a card for this one and a card for that one, you just issue it on our platform, and then, you know, the spending happens and you know what's going on. And then, of course, the benefit part of it. But I want to talk about something that is more interesting for me, because the big picture, right? So the big picture for me is this, and this is for the local market. You've got a very large amount of consumer spending here, about $150 billion, right? And about 60 billion of that actually comes from the outside in. So most of your spending that is happening over here isn't from here. $19 billion is actually spent on schooling and housing. So $45 billion is spent on schooling and housing. That means that people that live here spend another $45 billion. So you've got $45 billion that is actually being spent over here, $60 coming from the outside. So when you're talking about what this market looks like, you're actually looking at who's coming in, not necessarily who's spending it that lives within the country. Mm-hmm. 80% of the people that live here and earn here actually have never stepped into a mall. They've never they don't spend on coffee. They don't, you know, they can't afford one at a Mall of Emirates or a Dubai mall. They can't afford to walk into a retail store. So the people that you're seeing in the malls largely are people that are tourists, right? So that's your demographic for a lot of retail, is the tourists that are walking in. That's a lot of your demographic for who's spending at the high-end restaurants, who's spending at the luxury stores, who's going to the hotels and spending that cash. And then you've got the 20% of the market that is what the fintechs here are focusing on, which is, you know, the $45 billion, right? So when you're focusing on that 20% of the market, you have to really know what you're doing, right? What segment is it that you're focused on? What are you giving as a product? And how do you actually reach them? And that is a very, very competitive market to be in. So I guess my point is that a super interesting market, right? Unlike most markets outside in the world, most of the money is coming from the outside. So look at that if you're a fintech, right? So because you want to earn more. And then the what's important also from a retail perspective is, how do you engage your customers? So look at subscription models, look at loyalty, and look at embedded finance in order to pull people in.
Makes sense. Thank you. I think your point about tourists in the mall is an interesting one, because I think it depends on the mall. So we see where we are in Festival City, very different environment to Dubai Mall, the classic tourist spot. But it's a very good point. There's a lot of money coming into the market. How do you provide services for those customers and that level of spend? So I think we have actually quite a bit of time, so we're good on this. So I wanted to understand from a partnership perspective and collaboration perspective, how do you think businesses such as yourselves can partner with retail groups like Alphatain, for example? And what are the factors that make for a successful partner or partnership? Mo, do you want to start us off?
Obviously, the answer is quite different when you look at a large retail group versus small retailers, right? The construct is quite different. I think as we look at, again, the context of Careem, also a very large retailer, and I think there's an actually interesting play on distribution, the segments we go after. I think there's a lot of data that can kind of be anonymized and shared to figure out the overlap and customer bases, and kind of be able to do some interesting work on jointly marketing and then targeting those customers with things that are relevant to them. right? Within Careem, we also have the concept of a super app, right? So we kind of know when a customer is taking a ride, ordering their food, to sending money home through our fintech product. And so being able to extend that knowledge as well into the domain of the retailer, like, we'll know if somebody's going to Mall of the Emirates, right? Mm-hmm. What does that mean for their journey coming into there? I think there's interesting work as well, and we brought up loyalty, right? You've got your loyalty program. Careem's got their loyalty program with Careem Plus. I think generally sharing as well, like cross benefits across the programs, become really, really interesting there. I think third thing is, you know, we tend to think of the offline commerce world, you know, the in-store experience is one thing, and it's completely disconnected from what you do on online retail. But I think what you're seeing is more and more kind of a merger of this world, right, of these two worlds. So what does it mean to be an online to offline provider here, right? Or offline to online.
Yes.
Right? So I think as you start to think there, it's about understanding the customers, where the overlap is, where you can drive customer bases through the different partnerships, but also how you can kind of get working together on sort of the end-to-end journey for a customer, right? Mm-hmm. It just opens up the horizon of what you're looking at for a customer experience.
Very good. Fabini, same question to you. So how can fintech entrants to the market work with retailers, large or small, or key partners? It might not even be a retailer, from your perspective, but how do you work to make that a success?
So from a fintech perspective, or actually merchant perspective, I think that merchants are largely interested in anything that will bring in more customers or lower costs, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're a merchant, if you're a fintech, and you can do one or both of those things, then the merchant's going to be willing to talk to you. From our perspective, if a lot of what Mo said really resounded with me, right? So just being able to work with a partner, bringing in more customers, lowering the cost, also bringing in more interesting customers that would not have been able to be accessed by the retailer are things that we bring. So I think from a partnership perspective, we are always open to partnerships, and we're always seeking partners that bring in value to us.
Makes sense. Brad, slightly different element to the question. Obviously, we're all working in an area where there is some or a lot of regulation from financial services perspective, and obviously it's changing a lot, regional changes a lot. How are you overcoming the challenges that regulation brings, or even maybe there's opportunity there, but how are you helping retail partners, or how can fintechs help retail partners overcome some of these regulatory requirements?
Yeah, I think the first point is regulations are difficult. You know, it requires time, it requires money, and time is probably the worst one. You know, you have to wait and go through this process. From our perspective, from Cashy's perspective, we engaged with the central banks in both UAE and Saudi from day one. We were blessed in the sense that we're focusing on a youth segment that governments in general are pushing. You know, if you look at the Saudi 2030 plan, it is empowering the youth. We've partnered with the Saudi Development Bank that actually incentivizes our customers to save. They pay essentially an interest, a reward. Paid for by the Saudi government. In Oman, they're forcing banks to launch youth products. So there is a big push, which is, I think, lucky for us in terms of our discussion with the regulator. But my advice in the regulation perspective is they are really a strong partner of yours. Bring them in from day one, and the process will be a lot smoother. If you try and sometimes you have to adapt your business model. Actually, I can tell you, in the UAE, we had to adapt parts of our business model to satisfy the central bank, or to satisfy what they're saying in Saudi, for example, in summer. So when you have that engagement as early as possible, that's super critical. Don't be scared. Never be scared of the central bank, because if you wait too late, then you're in trouble. From a retailer's perspective, again, that is just removing another headache from the retailer. As I say, do what you guys do amazing. in Alphatain, incredible business, great malls and that kind of offering, but let the kind of fintechs take and handle that headache for you. And I think that's the value that we can bring, actually. The value that this is bringing.
Yeah.
If I may just pile into that, and regulation can be quite difficult to maneuver and navigate, and it doesn't make anybody's life easier if you're building a fintech product. That's the reality, right? At the same time, once you get over that hurdle and figure out the right working model, it earns you the right to capture trust, right? And whether that's for the consumers on one hand, right, or if you're offering your products to a merchant, there's a relief that, okay, like particularly if you're touching their finances, right, this entity is not going to disappear and take away our hard-earned money, right? And so I think it's about earning the right of the consumer and merchant trust. I think one thing also to layer into this, right, and we chatted a bit about like small retailers versus large retailers, right? The reality is, as Brett said, when you take that burden off the shoulder of the retailer and you become that trusted brand that is earning consumer trust, there's a lot that becomes possible for small retailers that they wouldn't really be able to execute otherwise, right? Ultimately, if you think about, you know, when you're a large retailer, there's a lot of benefits that come with scale, right? You've got resources as a team to invest in your own products or to have your pick of the litter in terms of who you want to work with, right? It drives cost benefits. It drives experience benefits that you can build for the customers. For a small retailer, that's really, really tough, right? And it's hard enough standing out in the, you know, sea of competitors, right, competing for the same product, let alone driving the advantages that make these larger players already able to like compete more aggressively. I think this is the fun part of fintech, right? What can you do to deliver the scale of a large organization to smaller retailers on mass, right? And we've seen this, right? Like at KarimPay, we built out our offer, and we're still relatively early in our merchant journey, right? But with our one-click product, right? Where a merchant will come in, they'll integrate with us, and then they're effectively getting everything we've built out as Karim to serve our millions of customers across the region, right? But being available to them, right? So that means you don't have to worry about a single gateway going down or an acquirer gouging you on prices, right? You can use Karim's logic to route traffic, right? You can come up with the customized fraud rules that Karim has built out to increase your conversions, right? You have more reliability. It's a single integration, so you're able to access multiple markets, multiple payment methods. You can't do that if you're building things on your own, right? And then layer on top of that, this factor of a consumer trust. Like, if you think about a user coming to your site for the first time, they've never heard of you, right? And yet you're asking them to give you the address information, right? Your contact details, your payment information. It's a scary thought.
Yes.
Right? And what you find is, I think for a lot of the merchants we've worked with, they used to have like an end-to-end conversion rate of 20-25%, right? Which is really sad. Like, you've done the work to get the customer to your website, to discover the products that you have, find something they like, and then, you know, 4/5 of them just like, oh, no, thank you, right? And I think when you bring in that financial player with the level of consumer trust that's there, you're able to grow that. And we've seen that with some of our products where now we convert merchants at like 60-65% rates, right? Even if a customer goes and clicks on that payment button, like, yes, pay. For most merchants, they have a success rate of 70%. It's really, really tough, right? Yeah. And then we've seen when you bring the benefits of scale, we've seen this increase to 90% for a lot of our customers, right? And so I think this is the gift of fintech, right? And where retails can actually start to compete more effectively with much larger players.
Because it sounds like you're going from maybe a niche position as the fintech grows and gets scale, then they're actually bringing the level of trust and the customer base to the retailer as well. So it's more symbiotic than just a vendor relationship.
100%. And I think that's the broader perspective that we need to have when supporting those retailers.
So I'm taking away really from this that it's focus on what your aim is and just be narrow and highly focused on that. Leverage that. Work early with regulators to get the insights needed to shape the product. And work with retailers, large and small, to get the benefits across. Let them do what they're good at. You bring what you're good at into the ecosystem. Mo, Padmini, Brad, thank you very much for the session today. If everyone likes to give them a round of applause for the insights. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. You can find our content on Anghami, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Follow us on social media at Step Conference and let's stay in touch.